Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome back, and a massive, huge shout out to Maidenform for sponsoring this episode. I am obsessed with Maidenform. I'm going to tell you all about it later, but I'm wearing it right now if you're watching instead of listening. I am in this gorgeous blue number, and I love, love, love it. Also, my titas look fantastic in this. I also have this in a nude color that I'm obsessed with. So again, we'll get to the episode, but I wanted to say a massive thank you to Maidenform for sponsoring. Love ya. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Welcome back to Probably a Podcast, guys. I say that with a little less glee, a little less excitement, because here's the thing, guys. Solo podcasts, they're like my favorite thing to do, but like, let's be completely honest and frank, they're hard. You have to talk for an hour to nobody, and I just like, you know, sit here. I've told you guys this before, but I love it. But here's the thing. I'm at the beach, and I'm doing this myself because when I go on vacation, I'm like, oh my God, Courtney, I can totally do this myself. It's totally fine. So I'm doing this recording myself, and I recorded myself for an hour. I have the audio to prove it. She has the audio. She doesn't have the video, okay? And I have to have video because this podcast is sponsored, as you guys heard, by the most gorgeous Gorgina little Maidenform thing you ever seen in your life. So you have to see it. Anyways, I know you guys would say that I could just upload it, but I couldn't. I did not press record, so... We are going to. And you know what? It's so funny because in the last episode, which will be the exact same as this episode, I hope, because it was a really good one. That's what sucks. It was so good. I had some really funny moments in there. I had this long, and don't worry, don't you fret, I'll get to it. I had this long discussion about how life is about how you respond, and I kind of talked about that a little bit when I had my little Louis V PP situation at the airport with the dog. But like, realistically, it really is how you respond. And yesterday, I wanted to throw my literal forehead through the screen window here, and instead, I took a deep breath, and I laughed, and I said, I could just do this again tomorrow. I'm at the beach. I could just do it again. Life is okay. Life is gravy, baby. So it was really funny though, because I posted about this and Claudia messaged me and she was like, you have my deepest sympathies. And Hannah Burner messaged me and was like, can you lip sync over the first one? Like, people that podcast get it. This is something. So anyways, we're back again. And we're going to try this once more. I have quadruple checked. Yes, we are recording video. Yes, we are recording audio. Here we go. All right. So let's get into it. All right, let's talk about where we're at. So I'm at the beach right now, which is fabuloso, except for it's actually kind of overcasty right now. Yesterday it was really beautiful. James and I just decided, like, why not? Let's take ourselves on a little Valentine's Day, V-Day getaway. We were going to do the mountains, and then I was like, no, let's go somewhere where it's warm and sunny. And then so we came to the beach. We're at 30A, which is in Florida, and I'm not gonna lie, it's not been that warm and sunny, but that's okay because there's fantastic seafood and I fucking love fish. The second I get to anywhere that's on the coast or near the water or anything, I am like, you shove all that fish into my boof hole. Fish, hey, you fish, you get in here. You get in my mouth. I'm obsessed with seafood, dude. I just really am. I'm such a pescatarian. Wait, no, that's when you don't eat meat. I'm not a pescatarian at all, actually. I just love it, though. And you know what's crazy? Being in Tennessee, we really do forget, because Nashville has such a beautiful food scene. Like, we really do have so many bomb-ass restaurants. And Ben Soffer, celebrity chef and friend, he reached out to me and he was like, hey, I have a friend coming to Nashville. Can you give me a list of like great restaurants, places to go and what to do? Which is funny because like I don't have a notes app where I just keep all that. I just do because Nashville is ever changing. Like stuff is always closing. Stuff's always opening. So I don't just have like a running list, which I should make. That would be smart. And I'll do an episode one day about like what to do in Nashville. But anyways, I was putting together a list of things and I wrote in there because I think his friend that's coming to visit is either from New York or LA. And I wrote in there like, here, if he's really craving sushi, here are two great sushi spots. But just as a gentle reminder, we are landlocked in the state of Tennessee. You know, we just have a couple man-made lakes around us. So wouldn't be my go-to, wouldn't be my first thing that I'd jump towards. But like, obviously, because I live in Nashville and I crave sushi all the time, we have great sushi restaurants. So it's just funny. I just love being near the sea because I just gobble up all the fish. All right. So anyways, we're here. It's been fantastic. Taylor and Mike are absolutely the best friends ever. They're letting us stay at their fabulous condo. You guys check them out on Airbnb. This place, the Chateau Monaco, it is lit. Like, it's so nice. Taylor really does just get it. You know what I mean? She just freaking gets it. The design in here is just stunning. So we are coming to you live from 30A. Again, this is my second time going, but maybe it'll be even fucking better, all right? So basically what I realized after recording this past episode is that I'm gonna do a little catch up. We're gonna talk a lot of wedding stuff, but basically it ended up being kind of like the toast version of a Fast Five. It was like a lot of pop culture catch up moments, but obviously, this is a weekly podcast, not a daily podcast, so we're a little late on the game. It's not a very super, super current podcast material or pop culture material, but regardless, I still got stuff to say. I have opinions, all right? So y'all are going to get them. Okay, so let's talk about what I've been up to. Okay, first things first. What did I do today? This, you know what? This was not in yesterday's episode that never came to fruition because this hadn't happened yet. So today I was working on my wedding website and I don't know if any brides out there are just like, first of all, everyone doesn't have to have a wedding website. I've been like really trying to hammer down on like societal norms and things that people think you have to do because you get engaged. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, okay? So something that I'm choosing to do as a wedding website, but that's mostly because I am having a wedding abroad and there's just like a lot of information that comes along with that. And so we wanted a place where our friends and family that are from Europe, which are all of James' friends and family, and then all of my American friends and fam, they would call all just have like a place to see everything that's happening. Now, most people wouldn't need such in-depth like stuff. And then also most people didn't do a fucking engagement shoot like I did where I just had 1 trillion photos that I wanted to use for the website. So we should always, you know, keep that in mind as well. But basically, I was going through these pre-made wedding websites and I just was like not feeling them. Like, I'm so sorry if I'm throwing any shade. Like, if you work there or you created these templates, everything that I wanted, I was just like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And then I had this brief fleeting moment where I'm like, I'm just going to hire someone to create a website. I'm just going to reach out and be like, I'll post on Instagram. I'll say, who can create a website? Like, I need some help. And then I was like, that's fucking crazy. You don't have a job, Shannon. Like, literally, you do it. That's a joke. I have a job. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, I have time. One thing about me, I have the time. So I'm at the beach and I'm at this coffee shop. You guys, I got there at 7:45. 7:45. And we're sitting there and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to create the website. I go to Squarespace, which you might be rolling your eyes because there are still templated options. But for the most part, like, I chose one that was like, I had to code it, which everyone was like, use ChatGPT for codes. And I did for a couple things. But anyways, long story short, at 3:30 PM, I realized, oh my neck, holy shit, my neck hurts so bad. But when I tell you, this is the most stunning, gorgeous wedding website I've ever seen in my life. Like, I literally should quit everything and become a website designer. I don't even know how to say the fucking job title. I can't do that. I can't even say the title. Web designer. I should make websites. Even though I probably, for the hours and amount of time I would put in, I probably wouldn't. You know, we're not working super efficiently because I'm not good at it. But I was so proud of myself in the end result. And James was like texting an email, or he was writing an email to all of his friends and family being like, hi, everyone. Here is the wedding website we worked on. And I was like, we, motherfucker, we. And he was like, do you want me to say you made it? I was like, no, that would be so weird to put in the email. But like, I was so proud. I was like calling everyone. I was like, look at it. I made this. Look at this website I made. Anyways, just really proud of myself for doing that. But that took a very long time. But anyways, the engagement shoot. Okay, the engagement shoot. Oh, but all of this is to be said. If you don't like something, you're not happy with it, you can do it. We can do stuff. You know what I mean? Like, quit your job at Google and make soap. Like, quit like dicking around on Instagram and make your own website. Like, I had time today and I did that, and I'm really proud of myself. So anyways, we did that. And let's talk about the engagement shoot. Now, this is funny, because here's the thing about this engagement shoot. I am literally just triple checking that I'm still recording. I have PTSD. Okay. Yeah, we are still recording, guys. So here's the thing about the engagement shoot. So I had this idea. Well, first of all, our photographer is just amazing. Her name's Rachel Bushwhacked on Instagram. Check her out. I cannot shout her out enough. This is not an ad. I literally paid for her services, because that's what you should do when someone's really talented. You should pay them their rate, okay? She should raise her rates. So I literally was obsessed with her from day one. Actually, Anna Grace was like, I think you'd be in love with this girl. And I've seen her work before, but I hadn't really like done my due diligence. Plus, like, I wasn't getting married at the time, so I didn't need a wedding photographer. But anyways, I go back and I look at her stuff. Anna Grace is the best. You guys know that Anna Grace is how I found Producer Courtney too. She just interviews everyone and then gives them to me. Like, it's so nice. Shout out Anna Grace. So we have an episode with her next week that I'm really excited for. So anyways, I love Rachel, and she had all of these ideas for this engagement shoot, and then I had some ideas for the engagement shoot, and the next thing you know, this snowball, it just keeps rolling. And then I thought, okay, I gotta convince James, who this man, he works for himself, he has his own job, but he works so, he is like, he doesn't have a 9-to-5, but when I tell you, from 9 to 5, he's like, he couldn't imagine if I were to be like, hey, do you want to go do XYZ? He'd be like, it's the middle of the work day. Like he really, that's how he works, right? That's not how I work. So anyways, I was like, so babe, we have to take some photos for our engagement shoot, which I know you guys, I've said it before, but like Taylor was like, what the fuck is an engagement shoot? But you don't have to have one. I'm just extra as a motherfucking shit. So I wanted one because like, duh, it's me. And so I had all these plans, but also like when we got engaged on my boat, it was like we just had iPhone footage, you know what I mean? So it's kind of just like we wanted some actual real photos, because I want to use them for save the dates, I want to use them for our wedding website, etc. So anyways, I'm just making myself feel better for having this absurd shoot. So I tell James, I'm like, so Monday and Tuesday, he's like, right. I'm like, the 12th and the 13th, he's like, right. I'm like, I need you to block off both afternoons around 11 o'clock onward for our photo shoot. And he was like, two full days. We need 2 full days for these shoots. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, he was so actually like, not, I thought I was gonna have to really convince him. He's like, well, if that's what you want to do for the shoot, if that's what you need, like, I'll make it happen. And I was like, okay, oh my god, slay. So we did this shoot. Now, it was all over the place. We did some stuff at the house, which really, you know, we got real sexy and intimate with it. And then we did some stuff that was a little nod to the engagement itself. We went on a beautiful sailboat using Sail & Company on Percy Priest in Nashville, which is really cool because well, sorry, I'm laughing because you guys, listen to what fucking happened. This would only happen to me, because you know why? Because they were like, you have a solo podcast and you're gonna need something to talk about. So oh, and then we did like this vintage car shoot that was really, really cool as well. Like, all of it was fun, except for I did feel like I was gonna die at one point, because we had this like tool hanging off my neck, and then we were like driving, and I thought the tool was gonna wrap around the wheel and I was gonna get just like yanked back in like Final Destination style and die. But I didn't, and I'm here podcasting with you guys. I didn't die. So yeah, the boat. Let's go back to the boat. So I call Michael Monaco. God love him. God love that man. He will literally do anything for anyone. He is the best friend and neighbor ever. So I'm like, yo, I really trust you and James and maybe like my dad to drive my boat, and that's it. So here's the dealio squealio. We have this like shoot planned where we're on a sailboat and there are fabulous, gorgeous, amazing pictures going to be taken up close. But then it would be really cool if you could be on the pontoon, on my pontoon, and you could be, it's a tritune. So I thought you could be on the tritune out of the way. And then whenever it's golden hour, right when the sun's starting to set, my photographer could get on the pontoon and take far away photos of us. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, okay, done. You guys, he has 3 children. This is a Tuesday night. Like, he has to like help with bedtime and dinner, but like, he's like, sure, no problem. Anything you need, Shannon, love you. Absolutely. So I'm like, wow, you're the best. So he comes out to the lake. It's cold as shit. I'm not gonna lie. Like, the things we did for the shot, like, I was in a sheer dress. Like, I was fucking freezing. And the photographer tried to make the shoot end of March because she was like, it's gonna be really cold. And I was like, I know, but let's just knock it out. I was like, I won't care. It'll be just so fun. I won't care. Me, I cared. I was freezing. But nevertheless, we got the shot. But so we go. And here's the thing about boats that y'all might not know. Well, let's talk about sailboats for a second. Sailboats, they don't have motors. Okay. They do, but they have little trolling motors. They're about, to put it in perspective, my pontoon, triton, whatever you want to call it, my boat has a 200 horsepower motor, okay? And it goes fast, but not like super fast. There are boats with way bigger motors. Some have two motors, et cetera, et cetera. Now, a sailboat, it's going to do what, ladies and gentlemen? It's going to sail. It's going to sail with the wind. So that's its means of transportation. But they do have a tiny little trolley motor on the back that has 4 horsepower. So mine, my boat, 200 horsepower. Sailboat, 4 horsepower motor on the back. It basically just trolleys you around if you need a little direction. Scoot and boot. Scoot, boot, and boogie, okay? So we are on the lake. We're getting the shots. They're fantastic. It's just about time to be golden hour. And I look at my phone. And Mike, who's just been, you know, doing little donuts out of the way so he's not in the background of any of the shots, close up. I looked out at my phone to call him to be like, hey, we're ready. And I have a text message on my phone from him that says, hey, I broke down. First of all, it was like from 15 minutes earlier. And it was like, hey, I broke down. Your motor won't start. And I'm like, oh, Jiminy crickets. I was like, shit. Because here's the thing about my gorgeous, stunning, I'm like still worried that this is not recording. It is. Okay. Here's the thing about my gorgeous, stunning, and amazing boat situation. Now, where I keep my boat docked, if you guys follow me on Instagram, I post about him every time we go. But there's a guy that lives on his houseboat across. He's not a guy. He's a man. He's a good man. He's a good man, Savannah. He lives on his houseboat directly in the slip across from my pontoon. His name is Tom. He's basically the mayor of the marina, I like to say. And he is the best. Like, he is amazing. He leaves little, like, spiders and candy around Halloween on my boat. He's always trying to, like, be sweet and, like, tell me a funny joke. He's always, like, when I walk away, he's like, now do me a favor. And I'm like, what's that, Tom? He's like, remember, Jesus loves you. And I'm like, oh, what a just angel sweet man. He's always, like, okay, bye. We got this. Listen to this. I don't have the keys to my boat. You ready for this? Me, Shannon Ford, owner of boat, I don't keep the keys to my boat. Tom keeps them. Do you know why? Because he's an angel. And because he says to me, hey, during the winter when you really need to be out there like starting your boat. And since James and I moved to Franklin, like it's 45 minutes to the marina and it's also just freezing cold in the wintertime. So who's just skirting around on the pontoon? He is like, hey, leave your keys with me. And I'm going to once a week start your engine so that your battery can recharge and your engine gets like some, you know, motion in the motion. And I'll make sure that I do that for you. And I'm like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. Like, he is just the best. So we love Tom for that. And he had told me like, hey, I've been starting your motor, but you know, it's cold outside. So batteries on boats tend to get a little wonky when it's cold out. So it died. So here's the deal. I said to Mike, okay, well, the marina is closed, so no one can come help us. This sailboat, we can move the sails and come to you. But I know the first thing we should be trying to do is to get my boat that's died to a dock nearby so that we can jump it because Tom has like a jumper cable because of course he does. And I should carry one in my boat from now on. But I'm like, I know that's what we should do first and foremost, but it's golden hour and I really need this last shot. He was like, okay, so we get this sailboat. We, with the 4 horsepower motor, we tow my huge ass Triton with the sailboat, which is like, here's the thing about sailboats. They really do operate on the wind. So like all the time on the lake, you see this all the time. It has nothing to do with like bad sailors. All the time you will see sailboats being towed in by other boats because like there wasn't enough wind or something happened. Like they're just finicky creatures and they are really hard to operate. So often you'll see sailboats being towed in by other boats, pontoons for sure. Picture this. This sailboat is towing my pontoon back in. So we get it to the middle. We push off on the pontoon so that we can take some photos. I'm like, quick, go push it far away. And then we take the photos. We get the shot. Honestly, they're fabulous. They're great. And then we strap her back up to the sailboat. And then it takes us, I'm not kidding, 30 minutes. And we were so close to the marina. We could like see it. We could like throw a rock at it. It took us that long to get it back into the marina because it was being towed by a 4 horsepower motor. Anyways, that would happen to me. But we got the shot. They look fabulous. And the engagement shoot was really fun. And if you're thinking, like, this is silly, why do I need to take professional photos with my, like, boyfriend, fiance, husband, whatever, like, just do it. It's just fun. You don't have to be an influencer. It's just, like, it's just a moment, and it's fun, and you have the memories to look back on, and we're only going to be this young and hot forever. I mean, not forever. Damn it. I wish forever. So, for this long. So, do it. Oh, for this long. Guys, another huge thank you to Maidenform for sponsoring this episode. Now, I know you see me wearing this gorgeous blue number. It is so buttery soft. I love it. I am obsessed with it. I have it in two different colors. I have it nude. I have it in black. I love it so much. But here's the thing. You guys, Maidenform has been around forever, but get a taste of M. Now, M is a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, which is a brand, like I said, that has a whole lot of history. They have been around since the very first bras, and now they are bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. I mean, you're looking at one right now on me. It is stunning, gorgeous. This whole episode I've been wearing it. M is a collection from Maidenform, which is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. Okay, so they wrote the book on bras, and you know that's a long book. And we want it to be a book that's well written, because bras can be a tricky thing, and Maidenform has always done it so right. And M, it's the next juicy chapter, all right? Now, you have to feel it to believe it, because I'm telling you right now, it is so yummy, so buttery soft, this fabric. Like, you truly have to feel it to understand what it feels like. It is the softest material ever. It feels way more expensive than they are, because I ain't trying to break the bank over here, okay? So great style that is also on trend and not gonna put you into debt, okay? So designs made from stretchy, comfy fabrics in incredible colors, like this cobalt blue I'm wearing. Like, I know I'm a redhead and it just looks incredible, but they have so many colors that are gorgeous. And as you can see right now, I'm wearing a little shrug over this. Like, M can be worn as inner or outerwear. So style it to your taste, create a look that serves you, that serves literally nobody else, maybe serves the public, who cares? Just know that you're going to look fabulous. Also, I love that this bra that I'm wearing right now in this whole entire podcast episode, it like clips in the back. So it kind of gives me extra cleavage. We love it. It's still super comfortable. Just genuinely love M, which is, again, the brand that's coming from Maidenform. I want you guys to all go online right now, get their underwear, get their bras, get their everything, because you will love it all. And when you feel it, you'll be messaging me saying, Shannon, you're right. I had to feel this to believe it. So you guys, visit Maidenform.com and use probablypod20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's Maidenform.com. Use code probablypod20 for 20% off your first order. Okay, what else have I done? I have written down here, guys. I have to say, we have to give a huge rest in peace, rest in power to Toby Keith. I'm literally such a big, huge fan of his. And here's the thing as well. Like, I started doing a little tribute for him on my Instagram, and I didn't even realize how emotional I was going to get. Like, I just love Toby Keith. You can't even imagine how much I love him. I'm so sad that stupid fucking cancer ripped him away from us too soon. I sang his songs at my shows. I love him. I just want to give a massive shout out to Toby Keith. He changed my life, and I love him so much. All right, I just really do. And you know what's so crazy? I was talking to Taylor because I was listening to one of my all-time favorite Whiskey for My Man, Beer for My Horses. I was listening to that song, and I was like, did you think we would see a day? I'm so glad he's still alive. I'm so glad to stay alive as long as possible with Willie Nelson. But like, can you believe Willie Nelson outlived Toby Keith? That's just devastating. I just can't even believe it. I'm just so sad. Again, rest in power to the king of America, the man's man, a true cowboy and legend, Toby Keith. We love you. What else has been going on? Oh, I went to the Drake concert, you guys. I went to the Drake concert because love of my life, Marissa, you guys know her. She was on the podcast. She was there whenever I met James. Probably wouldn't have. I think about this all the time. Like, Taylor literally says, jokingly, but also for serious, she's like, if you would have been in Barcelona with me on vacation in Spain, you would have not ended up with James, because I would have been like, cool, yeah, you found a guy. Bye. We're doing girls trip. And Marissa was like, oh, you look so happy. Go have fun. Maybe Marissa was like tired of me. No, just kidding. She wouldn't be. But I was just like, wow, Marissa, she's the goat. Anyways, it was her birthday, and her birthday fell on the same day as the Drake concert in Nashville. Now, here's the thing. I have never been this girly, and I texted her. I was like, well, she was saying she wanted to go to Drake. I was like, oh my God, let's go to Drake. It'll be so much fun, blah, blah, blah. And I've never been the girly that gets tickets the day of. And she said, like, I was like, I'll buy tickets right now, which is already crazy because it was like the day before or something. And she was like, no, let's just get dressed, go to dinner. And when we go to dinner, after we eat dinner and it's like 20 minutes before the show, we'll just look for tickets. And I was like, and I know people do that. There are a lot of people probably listening to this that do that, but that I'm just like such a control freak. Like, I am literally such a, what's it called? Fan club, pre-sale fan club. Like, I have so many annoying email chains that I can't get out of and that I keep putting in my junk. But like, I am the girl who will join the fan club online so that she can get the code for the pre-sale. And I'm not just talking Taylor Swift, because I know we all had to go into the trenches to get those tickets. But like, I am the girl that for any concert will do that. Like Olivia Rodrigo, like anything. I just, Rodrigo? Is it Rodriguez? It's Rodrigo. Why did I just like check myself on that. Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah, I got Bella tickets to Olivia Rodrigo, and it was literally the best gift ever for her 21st birthday. I gotta dust my shoulders off on that one because she's playing in London, and I snagged tickets for her and her best friend to go see, and I'm a genius. The best sister-in-law ever. So anyways, I'm really torn. Is it Rodrigo? It's Rodrigo. Okay, anyways, I've never been that girly that gets tickets the day of, like the hour of, the 30 minutes of. And it, you guys, I know it doesn't always work, but we saved like $250. Like, I had looked at the tickets, and I almost behind Marissa's back was just like, I'm nervous, I'm just buying them now. And I didn't, because I was like, okay, we'll just like do what she wants to do. And we really did save like $300, which was really cool. So anyways, that was a great concert. I just literally love Jersey Drake, Champagne Poppy. I love him so much. But I might have a little bit of a hot take here. I enjoyed, which I was not picturing this, I enjoyed J. Cole more. Like, I'd never seen J. Cole live. He slayed. Like, he is so good. Like, he's just, he's really, really, really incredible. And I just loved him. And here's another thing about Drake. He kept not finishing his songs, which was so weird to me. He kept, like, not going all the way, like, to the end of his song. It was almost as if he was doing, like, a Super Bowl performance. You know what I mean? Where he, like, medleys all of them together. I don't know. I was like, dude, finish your that's my favorite like part. Finish it. Anyways, Drizzy Drake can do no wrong. I love him. But yeah, I definitely think J. Cole might have outshined him, which is crazy. Cause it's like, you look at, I know that they're like sharing the tour, but like, it's the Drake tour, but like, nah, J. Cole carried it. It was sick. I really liked it. It was great. And happy birthday to our queen, Marissa. Okay. Let's talk some wedding stuff. Now, I'm going to give you guys the tea. So I don't think I've said this like officially yet. Like, I never like held up a sign that said like, she said yes. But I really do think you guys, like, I don't think I know I paid for it. Like, that was crazy. Why did I just lie to you guys? Why am I lying? She said yes to the dress. She did. She said yes to the dress. I found the dress that I loved in New York, Bridal Reflections in New York City. If you have the chance to go, or if you just want to make a trip of it, I actually met these girls. They were fabulous. Oh, wait. You know what's so funny? When we were at Drake, these girls behind us, I can't remember if they follow me on Instagram or listen to the podcast, but they were so sweet, so nice, and so cute. And they were like talking to me, and I go, hold on, wait. Are y'all cool if I film myself? Y'all cool if I film myself during this? I ended up not. I don't even think filming myself. Maybe Marissa took a video of us or something. But I was like, I got PTSD ever since Kyle Jonas and I went to Taylor Swift and got trolled for just having a good time. I was like, y'all good? And they all laughed. They're like, you're fine. And we did have a fantastic time with them. Okay, we really did. But I was all, I'm on high alert. I'm on red alert. Anytime I'm at a concert now, I'm like, uh-oh, I'm having fun. Who's upset? Who's upset that I'm having fun at a concert? But they were really nice and they were super cool. So anyways. I said yes to the dress. We were at Bridal Reflections in New York, which, again, I met this girl that was also there. I saw her at the infamous place where it was not the same day that I had the armed robbery happen to us. But it was the next day when I went back, because I'm just like obsessed with the drama of it all. And I had to go back. Anyways, when I go back, this girl was like, I'm on a trip. I'm doing the same thing as you. Like, I'm just coming to New York with my sister and my mom. It's such a fun place to go to try on dresses, because obviously there's so many places. But Bridal Reflections in general, she was like, I'm going to Bridal Reflections tomorrow because I just posted it. I was like, no way, you're going to have the best time, because the staff was so nice. There were so many. It can be very overwhelming to try on dresses, but they have them like sectioned out really nicely. So you're not just going like poofy, straight, see-through, large, really big, like, I don't know how to explain it, like really big layers and everything. I get really overwhelmed, but they had theirs sectioned out so beautifully that you were not overwhelmed. The sales associates were not pushy. They were not like, well, you have to figure out today, you have to figure out tomorrow. Like, they were just super, super kind. They made me feel so beautiful. This one girl was like in the trenches helping like suck me into things so that I could really see what my waist looked like in them. Like, I just had the best experience. And then I left because I'm so indecisive, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is my dress, but I'm not sure, because I tried on one in Nashville that I loved, which, by the way, I went to Adorn in Nashville, and that was also a great experience. But I had tried on a dress there that I loved, and then a dress in New York, and I was like trying to decide. And then I was like, okay, what dress is one that I'm just like, this is it? And I went with the one that, now I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I never like had that moment where I like cried. I texted Bridget and I was like, am I supposed to like cry and like have a moment? And she was like, I didn't. Like, you did. Like, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But like, I really was like, is this not my dress? Cause I didn't like cry when I saw it. And she was like, no, not everyone does that. So I went with the one that I didn't want to take off. So the one I tried on in New York, I kept it on for like 45 minutes, to the point that when it was time to try something else on, I was like, oh, well, I don't really want to take this one off. Like, that is what I decided. Like, I just wanted it on. The other one in Nashville that I tried on, which also the one in Nashville was so expensive. And what is this, ladies and gentlemen? A finance motherfucking podcast. So I was really proud of myself for choosing the less expensive one as well. But yeah, the one in New York, in Nashville that I loved, I really loved it. I'll have to share a picture of it later on. I'll probably still wait until after my wedding because it's kind of similar-ish. I don't know. The vibes are kind of same. But I had it on for what, like 15 minutes? And then I was like, okay, well, let's try something else on. Versus the one in New York I didn't want to take off. So if you're looking for like some like feeling, if you're indecisive like me, maybe like cling tight to that feeling. I don't know. Also, I'm going with Anna Grace to try on dresses next week. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll have already done it. I can't even believe we still get to just like be brides together. Like, it's so freaking fun. Also, you'll die. She says to me, she goes, we were talking about what she was going to wear to her bridal dress try on. It's going to be me, her sister, her mom, and her mom's friend. And she's like, and then if I find my dress quicker than I think, like maybe you and I can try on some dresses together. I know you think you found yours, but like maybe it would just be fun. And I said, if you think for one fucking second, I go, you're out of your mind, Anna Grace, as if in front of your mother, I'm going to be like, oop, what? Ooh, what about me? Could I go ahead and try a couple on? Like, that is, I don't know if I'm just Southern or what, but hail to the hail no, girl. That is not what you do. You don't do that. So I was like, no, sister. And she was like, oh my God, it's not that deep. And I was like, it's that deep. We're not doing that. Watch you guys be like, your podcast came out. You were in a dress with Anna Grace at her. If I am, she literally forced me because I said no. Anyways, okay. So we had that exciting news that I found my dress and I'm so excited. I can't believe like I found it and I'm like not even getting married anytime soon. Like, you have to tell them. So is it a giant Ponzi scheme? Like, is everyone lying to us? Like, if you're in the wedding industry, are you lying? Like, I don't know, because why does everyone say that it takes fucking 25 months to get a dress? Like, whatever date you tell them, like, my wedding date is this, they all go, ooh, I don't know. Okay. I don't think it's a sales tactic because they all say it. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But they all say the same thing. They're like, ooh, I don't know. We're going to have to see if that can work. I'm like, what? Like, Taylor got married 3 months. She got married. She planned the most gorgeous wedding ever. And she got married in 3 months. I remember being like, there's no way you'll pull this off. Because if you go back and you look at photos from Taylor's wedding, she was like straight up like she had a full on wedding. She didn't have some like tiny little shotgun wedding. She had a big, huge wedding, 200 people, like gorgeous Nashville wedding. Right. And then when she said to these people that she wouldn't needed her dress in 3 months, they probably did the same thing. Ooh, I don't know if we can do it. But like, she got hers. So I don't know. I just feel like everyone's a big fat liar. Liar pants. And I'm sticking by that. But I am really happy that I found it. This dress is off me. And it's not like I need it. I said to my mom, I was like, I don't know. I just like wish I had it sooner. And she goes, what would you do with it sooner? And I was like, that, Sharon Kay, is a great point. I don't know. And she's like, what would you want it for? And I'm like, you're right. I don't know. Nothing. I don't have a reason to want it sooner. Walk around my house in it. Like, you're right. So anyways, I got the dress. And now let's talk about my bachelorette party, because I haven't really gone into detail on this. Now, here's the thing. I feel like a lot of people reached out. I'm totally interested in one of those like bachelorette, like where they do everything. My friends want to fucking kill me because I keep planning my bachelorette and they're like, you're not supposed to do this. And I'm like, yeah, but I have control problems. So I'm kind of like planning it myself, but also I'm finally going to let the reins go. But I want to help my friends and I want to find one of those little companies that just kind of does a lot of stuff for you and ships all the decorations or whatever to the place you're going. And I haven't told Instagram, but I'll tell you guys in the podcast, because this is my trust tree. I have decided to do the Bahamas for my bachelorette, which is really fun. And I know this is going to sound crazy because you're like, bitch, it's still the Bahamas, but it's actually a lot more cost effective. And I have this like deep-rooted, like, I don't know how to explain, like, I do know how to explain it. I'll explain it right now. I feel so guilty for making everyone come to Italy for my wedding, although it's like literally been my dream for my whole life. And all of my friends and family know that. I've said it literally every guy I've ever dated since college. I've been like, I want to get married in Italy. So obviously it's for half of it was easy to convince because James's whole family and all of his friends live in Europe. So they're like, that's a 2-hour flight for us. Sounds great. We'll see you in Italy, babe. But like, all my friends and family have been so nice, so kind. Like, they have not made me feel guilty. They have not made me feel weird. They've all made me feel so excited, so supported, so happy. But there is just something about, and like, if you guys are listening to this and you've done a destination wedding, I'm sure you can like understand where I'm coming from. There is something about like this just like weird pit guilt feeling where I'm like, oh my God, everyone's having to spend so much money on travel just to come see us get married. But like, whatever, I had to put that aside. But regarding my bachelorette, I was like, I'm not going to ask now. Shannon, that would be getting married in America, she would be like, we're going to Ibiza for my like fucking bachelorette, bitches, strap in. But because I'm getting married out of the country, I'm not about to ask everyone to go out of the country and spend a bunch of money for my bachelorette either. So I hear you. You're going to be like, but bitch, but babe, you're getting married. I mean, you're doing your bachelorette in the Bahamas. That's not in America. That's out of the country. That's expensive. Well, here, I'm here to tell you that I have gone into my Instagram treasure trove, influencer body belt. What? I don't know what that is. My Instagram tool belt. And I have decided that I'm going to get some collaborations. So I'm trying to make this as cost effective as possible for my friends and family that are coming to the bachelorette trip. And it just made a lot of sense because all of my bridesmaids are on the East Coast. I wanted to do Cabo, and I know what you guys are thinking. Everybody does Cabo for their bachelorette, but it's fucking fun, y'all. It's fucking fun. But I was like, I can't ask everyone to fly all the way to basically LA and then go down to Mexico. Like, it's just a lot. So it was a lot more expensive flight-wise as well. So some of my bridesmaids are in Florida, so it's like a one-hour flight to Bahamas. A lot of my friends are in South Carolina, Nashville. My sister's in Dallas, so she's actually probably the furthest away. And then, of course, Bella. I was like, Bella, you obviously do not have to come to, you know, the Bahamas. I would not expect you. She was like, girl, I'm coming. I was like, I literally love you so much. So she's coming all the way from London. Love that. But yeah, so it's in the Bahamas. I'm really excited. I'm just doing Nassau. I just feel like it's fun. And here's the thing, too. I don't want to speak for you guys, but me personally, I was one of those girls who was like, oh yeah, when I get married, I don't want to do all this like basic stuff. Like when I get married, I'm not going to do all this lame stuff. When you get married, I'm so mad at myself for being so judgy. Like when you do get married and you're a bride and it's time for your like your moment, you really do want the cheesy stuff. Like you want the sweet, cliche, cute little things. Like you want the themes, you want the pictures, you want the like faces on tattoo, like you do want all that stuff. And it's so fun, and I'm so glad to be on this side of it and to not be a hater, because I'm like, you know what, everyone live your truth, everyone do exactly what you want to do. Like I just love it all. I love seeing people happy and celebrating. And it's funny, I never was a hater about any of it. Like you guys, I live in Nashville. I am so not a bachelorette hater. Actually, there are so many people in Nashville that live here that are like, oh, the bachelorettes. I'm like, whatever. It's so fun and it brings so much tourism and it's amazing. So if you're a bachelorette party, come to Nashville. I love you. But I just am not a hater like that at all in regards to that. But I definitely never thought I would want some of the things that now that I'm in these shoes, I'm like, I do kind of want them. It's fun. Being basic is fun. So anyways, I'm just happy to do all those things. And again, my friends are literally going to murder me because I'm like, I need to just let the reins go and let them like, you know, handle some of it. But when you're in the Bahamas, and I'm very excited. You guys heard it here first. Not that it's literally a big deal at all, but that's where I'm going to do the bachelorette party. So I'm really excited about that. Anything else in regards to the wedding? Let me think. Nope. But you guys did ask some of my favorite TV shows. Let's talk about that, because let me walk you through me and James. Oh, no, the Super Bowl. We had to talk about the fucking Super Bowl first. Okay, so obviously, I'm not going to lie, I was pulling for the 49ers. I was torn because me, love Taylor Swift, and I really wanted to see that moment at the end of the game on the field. I wanted to see that moment that we so beautifully got with Travis, with Taylor, embracing, having a, you know what I mean? I wanted that moment, but I wanted the 49ers to win because I just love the girlies, the wives of the 49ers. I love the Kittles. I love Olivia Culpo. I love all of them. And I just wanted to see a win. I wanted to see a W. Also, like, no one's like, unless you're from Kansas City, like, who's really pulling for the same people to win the Super Bowl that won last year? You know what I mean? So anyways, I really was hoping for a 49ers win. We didn't get it. I'm not really a sports fan, but I just wanted them to win. I also, oh my God, you guys, I lost so much money sports betting. Because here's the thing about sports betting. One, I just love gambling. I love betting in general. But don't bet on sports if you don't really understand sports. Because I was on my little app where I was betting. I'm not going to say one because no free advertisement here. But this is an opportunity if you want to reach out. I do love sports betting. But I was basically on this app and I wanted to take something that's called the money line. Okay. I called my dad. I'm like, he's like, who are you taking for the money line? He knows I always do that because money line's easy. It basically means who's going to win. Okay. Now here's what I do. I hedge my bets. I literally bet on both teams because I was like, whichever one I lose, I'll win with the other one. I know I did a difference in amounts of money, but I'm like, you know, thinking I'm Gucci, baby. Well, what I didn't realize, you guys, was that I did some weird thing where I like bet on the first quarter / money line. So like, here's what happened, guys. I don't know if you watched the game, but no one scored in the first quarter. So I automatically lost my two biggest bets. I mean, hundreds of dollars. I lost because I simply did not realize that I wasn't just betting on the end result of the game. I was betting on the first quarter end result, which would have been fine, by the way. I would have still won one of those bets if someone would have scored in the first quarter. I was so mad at myself. I was like, you have got to stop fucking doing this shit, Shannon. You do not know sports well enough to be doing this. So, anyways, I have another question for you guys that you can't answer back because I'm literally just talking to my screen. But here is what I'm wondering. Like, I want to know so bad. Obviously, we never saw Joe and Taylor, like, their relationship play out. Was that a her thing or was that a him thing? Was that a them thing? Like, has Travis just, like, made her feel so comfortable and so out of her shell that she can be so publicly displaying her relationship? Because, like, obviously, I'm loving it. But I'm so curious because she would have never, ever, ever even so much as, like, shown a pipsqueak of her, like, relationships or emotions or, like, embraces with Joe ever. And then here she is, like, does she know, like, surely she knew. Like, she's out here on this football field and Travis and they're embracing. He's mic'd up. You hear them. He's like, come here, baby girl. Come here, baby girl. And she's like, I love you. And he's like, I love you too, baby girl. And like, they're not even that country. I don't want to make them sound like that. But you know what I mean? Like, we hear their breathless sighs of, like, exasperated, like, celebrations. Like, we hear it all. And I'm like, is she cool with this? Like, she was really not cool with this before. And now she seems so cool with this. So, I mean, I'm obviously, as a consumer, I'm loving it. I'm literally loving it. And I love to see my Tay girl happy. I really do. I obviously think they're in game. Now, oh my gosh, who was it? I think it was James, dumbass. James was like, do you think she's going to get proposed to at the end of the game if they win? I was like, what in the... No. Oh my God, no. Also, why was everyone so... The internet was so up in arms about his, like, speech. Like, what do you... First things first, he's not even the quarterback, right? I don't know that. And he's not. He's not the quarterback. No, he's definitely not the quarterback. The Purdy guy's the quarterback, I think. Anyways, he's not even the No, Purdy's the 49ers. Anyways, whatever. Travis Kelce's not the quarterback. I'm pretty positive. Anyways, he's not even the quarterback. That's the guy that in my head, I think, like, he's got to make the speech. He's the Tom Brady of it all. He's the one that's got to, like, be like, to the young boys watching this, you can do it. Like, he's the one that's got to do that. Travis Kelce, everyone was so, like, is this a hot take? I don't know, but like, everyone was so upset that he was like, Viva Las Vegas, let's party. Like, so what? Oh, my God. Like, he had to get up there and give a Grammy award-winning speech. Who cares? Everyone's like, he should be ashamed. Now, I did see him, like, yell at the coach or whatever, which, obviously, like, not a vibe, but tensions and emotions run high. I'm pretty sure he apologized for that. The coach seemed so unbothered by it. Like, in the after, you know, interviews, he's like, LOL, don't care. We're Super Bowl winners. But yeah, it was so weird to me that the internet was, like, demanding that he, like, apologize for his speech after. I'm like, he just said, Viva Las Vegas. Like, let's party. He just won the Super Bowl. Like, who cares? That was so weird to me. Sometimes the internet weirds me out. Okay, we're gonna close this out by talking about something you guys ask me about all the times, which is, oh my gosh, well, you don't ask me about this all the time. You do ask me about TV shows I watch, and definitely we love watching a show. Like, we love a show. Now he wears those stupid little Elton John glasses that are so lame, that are like orange, that block out all the blue light, but he swears it makes him like so much sleepier before bed. I don't know, but we watch TV before we go to bed. We finished Outlander, or no, he does not watch Outlander. You know who watches Outlander, though? James's dad, which is so unexpected because he's like a finance guy. And I'm like, you watch this show about these people that go back in the future that are like fairies and witches and fuck? Like, I love that about you, Mark. Outlander, incredible series. Watch Outlander if you haven't. And if you tried to watch it and couldn't get into it, try, motherfucker, because you will love it. James and I finished Peaky Blinders, which we really, really, really loved. It was amazing. And if you tried to watch that, like myself, and couldn't get into it, my friend Colleen said the same thing. And I was like, try it again with subtitles. It's one of those shows where you really, really have to watch it with subtitles, like, to understand it. And then it's an incredible show. James and I are like sad we can't watch Peaky Blinders anymore because we finished it. So now we are watching Billions. Billions is great. Now you do have to cut, you like, it's one of those shows where you can't just like not watch. Like, you have to pay attention because it's set in like DC/New York, and there's a lot of like political jargon kind of that goes along with it. But the storyline, the actors and everything about it is like really good. It really hooks you in. So that's a great show. We've been watching it right now. I actually had watched season 1, but nothing else. So I'm finally caught up with like stuff I haven't seen before. And it's a really, really good show. It's the same guy from Homeland, the redhead, who is so, wait, I just realized Outlander has a hot redhead, although I don't think he's a natural redhead. And then this guy, Damien something is his real name, but in the show, he's Bobby Axelrod. Yo, I do not think redheaded dudes are attractive. He is so hot to me in the show. He really is just an attractive, and he's definitely a redhead. He has like freckly arms and legs, and he's a redhead. But I'm like, you are hot, and I don't understand why. So watch Billions if you haven't. I also, like, for the girls or the boys, I was obsessed. James just would never watch this with me. I was obsessed with Downton Abbey. Loved it. The Crown, so sad that's over. Can't believe that's over. I just, what a series. What a series. Truly just love that to my core. It took me so long to watch it because I would just pause it and Google everything about it because it was just such a beautiful masterpiece and well thought out and put together series. I just, if you're obsessed with anything, like, I've been obsessed with royal culture, British culture before I met James. And I, like, if you're into that kind of stuff, the royal family, watch it. It is just so good. Okay, now we're going to end on me saying, how dare you guys? How dare you guys not tell me more ferociously? Because I know you guys are always, like, reading. Like, I know I, like, reading is not a new thing, okay? Like, the girlies are out here in book clubs. Like, everyone loves the read heads. Everyone listens to the toast and knows that literate women, you know, are important. Everyone's reading on their Kindles. Everyone's doing it. But here's the thing. Y'all always gave me shit for listening to my Audibles. I get it. And not all of you, but, like, a lot of you did. But I love to listen to Audibles for, like, mundane tasks or whatever. Like, they're my favorite. And when I'm doing, like, random chores or whatever, like, it's my favorite thing to do. Just throw on an Audible book so I can just, like, mindlessly do my tasks while also listening to basically a movie. But I will say this again. You use the same – research shows that you use the same part of your brain to listen as you do to read. So you're still retaining the information. Not that I really – I'm really just, like, making a case for myself because I hate when people are like, you listen to the book. You don't read the book. Whatever. I've never been, like, a Kindle girly. I've never been, like, a sit-down-and-read girly. Then the other day, I don't know what got into me. Oh, I know what it was. Bella. Bella was talking to me about wanting me to read some book, and I was like – yeah, okay, I will. I'll download it on Audible. And she was like, Shannon, I said read. And I was like, Bella, you were to, I'm like, you use the same part of your brain. She's like, but it's like watching a movie, basically. And I was like, you're kind of right. Anyways, I thought maybe it'd be a nice little way to, like, wind down. And I literally said to myself, I'm going to buy this Kindle and I'm never going to pick it up again. I'm never going to use it. Y'all, I have never in my life felt better than everyone ever. Like, I am better than you. I'm better than him. I'm better than her over there. I'm better than everyone. When I'm reading, I'm better than everyone. The literal pedestal I put myself on when I was reading my Kindle, I was like, James, by the way, reads all the time. He is, like, such a self-help book reader. He would like to read before bed instead of watch TV. He is, you get it. He's Mr. Health Nut. He's reading, right? But, like, for whatever reason, whenever I was reading my Kindle the other day, he was on his phone, probably, like, still looking up some weird scientific research paper that he loves to look up. But he was on his phone, and I just looked over at him, and I just thought to myself, look at him over there. Look at this low-life peasant just scrolling on his phone. And I'm here reading, educating myself. I'm reading a book. You guys have literally read one book on a Kindle. One. It's called The Housemaid. It's called The Housemaid. Yeah. Housemaid. Housewife? Housemaid. Yeah. And then The Housemaid's Secret is the, anyway, sequel. You guys, I literally, I can't believe it. I want to read all the time. I devoured the book. It was like a weekday. Like, I had shit to do. And I just sat there and I just read the whole thing. I finished it all in one day. One day I was done with the book. And I just loved it. And it wasn't a huge book. Like, obviously, it wasn't like I'm listening to Fourth Wing and Iron Flame right now. And you guys, we walked into a bookstore and I saw that bitch, like, thick boy. It's a thick boy. I saw it and I was like, what is this Harry Potter shit? No wonder the audiobook is 23 hours long. Anyways, I'm reading on my Kindle and we get to the beach and I'm like, dare I say, I'm going to be a girly that reads at the beach now. Anytime I go to the beach, I'm going to be reading. Anytime I go to the pool, I'm going to be reading, which is great for Taylor because she loves to tan because, you know, she actually sees physical results from it. I get nothing from it, so I can't see anything. And she's like, you cannot sit still when we go to the beach or the pool. Like, you have to be up doing stuff. And I'm like, yeah, now I'll be the girly with my Kindle reading. I can't believe I wasn't doing it sooner. It is so great. And what did I do? I get to the beach. We're here the first day. It's sunny. It's beautiful. We're having a little freaking smoked tuna dip from Bud Nally's. It's got me in an absolute goddamn chokehold. I love it so much. And we are sitting there and I look at James and I go, oh my God. Oh my God. I forgot my Kindle. And he was like, oh shit. How'd you do that? You literally just said you wanted to be one of the girls that reads on the beach. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, damn it. I was like, all right, well, here I am thinking I'm smarter than everyone, better than everyone, and I forgot my Kindle. So I was like, damn, I'm just going to have to go buy another Kindle. I'll just go get one and I'll just give it away. Like, I'll give it to one of my followers or something. Like, you know, they're $120. And he was like, Shannon, you're not going to buy another Kindle. And I was like, babe, I have to have a Kindle. I have to read. I want to read while I'm here. We're, like, here to relax. Like, I want to read while we're here. I was like, seriously, it's okay. Like, I never really like do PR boxes or anything for my followers. I'll give it away. He looked at me. He goes, Shannon, why wouldn't you just buy a book while you're here? And I was like, you know what? That is smart. why don't you buy a $14 book instead of a $120 Kindle that you already own? And I was like, oh, that, I didn't think about that one. That is smart. That is, you know, maybe you actually are smart, even though you're not reading like I'm reading. I don't know. That was funny. So anyways, I ended up buying the sequel to the book that I read on Kindle, The Housemaid's Secret, and I'm reading it. Physical copy. Nothing quite hits like a Kindle, though. I really love it. Anyways, I just feel better than everyone. If you're listening to this, I'm better than you because I read a book. Okay. And maybe you're reading more books than me. I don't know, but I just still feel far superior. All right, guys. That is quite literally all I had inside of me because I repeated this exact episode yesterday. It could have been less funny. It could have been more funny. I don't know. Just like, subscribe, and comment. Anyways, I never say that anymore, actually. I never really do. I never say, leave nice reviews if you liked this. Subscribe to my channel on podcast or Spotify. I love you guys so much. Buy tickets to the live shows. Get yourself some Maiden Form. And thank you again, Maiden Form, for sponsoring this episode. You guys are the GOAT. This blue looks stunning on me. Love you guys so much. Bye.